Hey, what would your cardboard testimony say? Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you read some of them as they walked across the stage, but you're not sure that that actually could be true for you. And I'm not sure what you saw, but did you look at some of their faces when they flipped over their testimony card to the other side? There were smiles, there was joy, there was hope, there was forgiveness. It's not only what you read on the cards that they wrote, but it's what you saw in their faces and in their eyes when they raised it up above their heads and they proclaimed what God had done. So let me just ask you today as I begin, what side are you on? Are you on this side? Some of the words that they had on their cards: doubt, they were confused, they were hurt, they were alone, sad, despair, broken, searching. And are you that person that today is still searching for healing or hope? Or maybe if you flipped your cardboard testimony over, it would just be blank today. Because you're not sure what would be on there. Because you're searching for hope and you don't seem to have any answers to the hopelessness you might be facing. Or maybe some of you, you want to flip to the other side, you just don't know how to get there. You know that deep down in your life that you were created for meaning and purpose. You just don't know what that is for you yet. Because honestly, when you look around your life and when you look around this world, all these things seem to be in disrepair and ultimately dying. There's death, division, and doubt, and it seems to kind of be suffocating our world right now in our society. And maybe that's just left you feeling empty. From relationships, to marriages, to chaos in the world, to your 401k, that's been dead for a while now. You're just not sure what tomorrow might hold. Tonight we come to this place because Jesus died on a cross and he was buried. His close loved ones and his followers, that was the most hopeless time they'd ever had when they experienced that Good Friday. He was crucified and he was put to death. And maybe you've come here on this Easter and you can relate. But maybe you relate more to Good Friday than you do to Easter Sunday. Because for whatever reason, you feel trapped and in despair and doubts kind of surrounding you. And you'd love to get to the other side. You just didn't sure if that is even possible or how to do it. Well, first of all, I want to let you know that you're not alone tonight. You're going to hear about that in just a minute. You're in good company. And second, I not only believe that the resurrection of Jesus is true, I actually believe it can be life-changing for you. Because you see, the resurrection was life-changing for me and for countless others that are here tonight. See, because Easter is all about Jesus bringing dead things to life. Easter is about helping you cross over from one side to the other. It's about moving you from despair and doubt to hope and healing. So can the resurrection of Christ be real for you? Well, that's just strictly up to you. But this is one thing that I am sure of tonight, is that the day that changed the world is the same day that can change you. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the transforming power of the resurrection. Thank you tonight for people that walk across the stage and proclaim that their lives have been changed by you. Thank you in a moment that we're going to baptize a bunch of people. And God, they're going to proclaim as they go under the water that they are dying to their old selves and they're coming out new because they have trusted in the resurrection power of Jesus. So tonight, we just ask that you would speak to us in this place, in this time, for this moment. And that God, if that resurrection power of Easter isn't true for us, that maybe we would just consider who you are and what this day means to everyone who chooses to believe. And it's in your powerful name we pray these things. Amen. There was a man who took a vacation to Israel with his wife and his mother-in-law. And during their time in the Holy Land, unfortunately, their mother-in-law had passed away. And the following day, the husband met with the local undertaker to discuss the plans. And he said, in cases like these, there are a couple options for you. The first option is this, he explained. You can ship the body home for about $5,000. Or you could bury your mother-in-law here in the Holy Land for just under $150. And the man took a minute to think about it, and he announced his decision that he wanted to ship his mother-in-law home. And the undertaker was intrigued by this decision, so he asked, "That's a pretty interesting choice. Can I just ask you right now why you would pay $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when you could bury her here for about $150? The man quickly replied, "About 2,000 years ago, there was a man who died and was buried here. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and I just can't take that chance." If you have your Bibles, turn them to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Sorry, mother-in-laws. John chapter 20, we're going to be in. Tonight, if you're looking for meaning and purpose, I'm going to talk about that a little bit here, but we begin a series called What Are You Searching For next week? And I'm going to unpack, really, that God created you on purpose for a purpose. Love for you to join us next week. But tonight, we're going to jump into John chapter 20. His name was Thomas. We know him better by his full name. His full name's Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas had a bunch of his friends that had seen Jesus face to face. He was no longer in the tomb. He is risen. And these friends, they saw it with their own eyes. These were people that Thomas trusted. These were people that he hung out with day in and day out for about 3 years. But the doubter, this wasn't enough. You see, Thomas had to see it with his own eyes before he would ever choose to believe. See, he had to see him face to face before he could ever cross to the other side and believe that this one, Jesus Christ, was risen from the dead. The disciples had all seen him, but Thomas wasn't with them on that day. So they come back, they're all excited, they're pretty fired up, and they tell Thomas, "You're not going to believe what happened, but Jesus is alive." And he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe." Here's what it says, John chapter 20, starting in verse 26. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be on the screens. It says, "A week later, his disciples now were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side.' And then he simply says, 'Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Why didn't Thomas believe? What do you think made him so skeptical? Text doesn't give us much information, but we're going to speculate just a little bit. Maybe it was his personality. There weren't any strength finders or Myers-Briggs tests to understand who Thomas really was, but Pastor Tim Keller said that Thomas has what's called a sensing personality instead of an intuitive personality. See, sensing personalities, they need hardcore facts. They need the evidence. Intuitive personalities, well, they go on perception and instincts. If you're a sensing person, then you can understand Thomas. He needed to see the concrete evidence face to face. So that might be one thing. Second thing, maybe he really didn't believe in the supernatural. It's not too much of a stretch. Dead people don't rise from the dead. There's no way that could possibly happen. Many people in the modern world, we have problems with miracles. So the second one seems pretty plausible, that he didn't believe there was a miracle that could happen. Third, as a pastor, I've watched the dying process of many in our congregation, including my own parents. And part of our humanity is that we just don't want to actually believe that people are dying. And when someone is in that process or is given away to death, we have a hard time believing and then even accepting this new reality. So maybe it was that. See, Thomas is so emotional and can't really accept anybody else's eyewitness account. So he says, "I got to see him face to face. I have to touch the wound before I will ever choose to believe." And then it happens. He sees with his own eyes. He touches the wounds with his own hands, the text tells us. And all of a sudden, he was changed. And this doubting man makes an incredible statement, especially a man who was Jewish. Verse 28, he says, "My Lord and my God." And I'm going to guess from how I read the text that he probably yelled that or proclaimed that pretty boldly. My Lord and my God. For a Jewish man to call Jesus his God, it was unheard of in this day. To get from where he was and now to cross over to the other side where he was saying that Jesus is God is probably hard for anyone to fathom. He went from the world's biggest doubter to now the world's strongest believer. And really what doubting Thomas shows all of us is there's hope for every one of us. There's hope for the doubters and the skeptics. There's hope for the hopeless and those in despair. See, today there's hope for every single one of you. So how did it happen? Better yet, how can it happen for you? How can the day that changed the world be the same day that changes you? Well, a couple things I want you to think about tonight. First, for us to be changed by the resurrection, we have to believe in the power of the evidence of the resurrection. For those of us who believe, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single event that our faith stands on and has stood the test of time. At the heart of the resurrection is the heart of what we believe. And today, I don't have time to walk through all the overwhelming evidence, but I do want to ask you a question. How many of the things you believe about history have you seen or experienced firsthand? You probably haven't seen the events or were part of many of them, but you believe they actually happened. And why is that? Because you have trusted the eyewitness accounts of those that were there, of those who experienced the event and wrote about that event. And if you want to cross over to the other side to believe in this one Jesus Christ, then you must trust the evidence. And trust the evidence, first you're going to have to be an investigator. Tonight, maybe you've never investigated the resurrection of Jesus' account, but I would love for you to do that. Because the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible, these were eyewitnesses who were there and experienced the resurrection or saw Jesus. And when you start there, you will see and understand that there were over 500 other individuals that reported seeing and being with Jesus. You'll see, once you open up the Word of God, that the Bible is trustworthy and the evidence is enough. But even if it was only biblical evidence that was available to you, it would be enough. But it's not, because there is historical evidence that's available as well. There's a man by the name of Gerd Ludman. He's an atheist New Testament scholar. It's an oxymoron, I think, but he's an atheist New Testament scholar. Here's what he says. Historically, it's indisputable that Jesus was dead and that he rose from the dead. No serious historian denies the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. An atheist. No serious historian. So tonight, if you haven't crossed over to believe in this one Jesus, I would just ask you to study the evidence. I'd ask you to open the door of your heart and your mind and investigate and research and search out the truth, because here's what we found. It's true. And today, you're going to watch and see in a moment when people get baptized. And you're going to be eyewitnesses to the transforming power of what God has done in their life and the power of the resurrection that is real to them. And then you will see that the day that changed the world is the same day that can change you. A second thing I'd love for you to think about is this. There's always two sides to a coin. See, Thomas' doubt in God didn't stop God pursuing him. And the same is just true for you. On one side, Thomas doubted, and on the other side, God kept pursuing him. His friends came and told him that they had seen Jesus, and imagine how excited they were, and Thomas wanted nothing to do with their story. Look at verse 25. Here's what he said, unless you guys, I actually see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into the side, I will not believe. Then a week later, they're all hanging out, as I read, in the house, and Jesus appeared, and he just says this, hey, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. See, Thomas's doubt in God did not stop God from pursuing Thomas. What a moment. I mean, I wish I could have seen the look on Thomas's face when Jesus just entered that room. Very rarely do we have the privilege of having you got to see it to believe it moment. But my wife and I just had one of those this last November. We were in India and we were on our way back coming through London, and we stopped in London for a few days. And there was a church there called Holy Trinity Brompton, and it's a church that I've been to, and I met the pastor, and so I wanted her to see this little church that's doing amazing things. The program Alpha that we do at our church, it started there, and it's touched millions upon millions of people's lives. So I just wanted her to go in this building and see this beautiful church. So it's raining, so we have our umbrellas, and we're walking around the church trying to find an open door. We were actually going to just break into this church because nobody was there on a Monday morning at 10 o'clock, and we found the door to the kitchen was open. And we opened it up, and as we walked in, here's what was on the other side of the door playing. Take a look at the screens. Now, to some of you, that might not mean much, but to a trumpet player and a musician and a singer, that was the Royal London Philharmonic. They just happened to be practicing Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream for a performance the next day. And we open the kitchen door, literally the kitchen door, and Marty says, it's open, and so we snuck in, and all of a sudden, here was the Royal Philharmonic. Can you believe it? I was in the back filming them, and I knew I was going to get kicked out. So I was like, that's why it's just terrible filming. I didn't go in front, didn't want anybody to see me. We sat there for over 30 minutes. And Marty just looked at me halfway through, and she said, is this really happening? And I was like, yes. We just happened to go in a side door. And what was going on the other side for us as musicians was breathtaking. It was a once in a lifetime. It cost us absolutely nothing. And the lady came up and said, they're playing tomorrow night at some, the Royal Albert Hall or something, and you can join us. And I said, why? We just got the concert for free. I'm so glad I opened that door. I'm so glad that we actually walked in to the other side and saw what was going on, because it was something so unexpected. Today, maybe you're here and you want to cross over to the other side. Or maybe you're here and you're not pursuing God at all. You're just here because it's Easter and somebody made you come. We're glad you're here. No matter who you are or why you are here, I just want you to know there's a God who's been pursuing you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would choose to believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. God was always pursuing you. And at the core, Christianity is all about a connection. A connection with our Creator God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the reason he sent his Son to earth to die a painful and shameful death was because he wanted to be in a relationship with you. You have a God who unconditionally loves you no matter the conditions you have put on him. See, God saw there was a gap between himself and his creation. And we as human beings have tried to fill that gap. We've tried to earn our way back to God ever since. So God said, I needed to close that gap between myself and my creation. I needed someone to pay for mankind's sin. So he sent his Son Jesus to die on a cross in our place to pay for our sins so that we might be able to cross over from one side to the other. So we might be able to be in a relationship with God through Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. See, all other world religions are about what you do or how you work your way to God. Christianity is about what has already been done for you. You just have to choose to believe and accept God's free gift of salvation. And by accepting that free gift of salvation, the gap between you and God is closed. And the darkness of Good Friday can bring forth the sunrise of Easter Sunday in your life. Thomas said, unless I can see him face to face, unless I can touch those wounds, I will not believe. And Jesus showed up, and he let Thomas do what he needed to do. And Jesus just said, now stop doubting, Thomas, and believe. And tonight he says the same thing to you. Because the evidence is there. The love of Christ is real. And now he just says, will you believe? Will you walk through the open door to the other side? Many times what keeps us from crossing over to the other side is not God, but it is the conditions we've put on God. Yeah, you might say, I believe that God loves me, but if I choose to believe and I choose to accept that love, how is it going to affect my life, maybe you ask? How is that going to affect my job or my career? I mean, if I'm going to have to give up, you fill in the blank. If I'm going to have to give up whatever to experience his love, then I'm not sure it's worth it. Maybe that's your condition. Or God, I will serve you or I will live for you if only you will do what I need you to do for me, then I will believe in you. Some of you haven't crossed over to the other side because you've made it more about yourself than you have about Jesus. And it's just not about what you will do or what you have done or what you will ever do, but what has already been done for you on a cross. And Jesus just simply, like he did Thomas, asks you to believe. Because of the cross tonight, you can cross over to the other side. See, he has overcome your past so you can have a hope-filled future. He was condemned so you could be forgiven. He rose again so you could rise to new life today. On the other side of your sin is salvation. You see, on the other side of your hurt is healing. On the other side of your heartache is joy. On the other side of your fear is hope. On the other side of your searching is purpose and meaning. Tonight, none of us in this room are perfect, but we are perfectly loved. None of us are without sin, but on the cross, Jesus covered all of our sin. Matt Smethurst says it this way, the enemy, which is Satan, Satan knows your name and he calls you by your sin. God knows your sin and he calls you by your name. See, the enemy wants you to live in your sin and your doubt and your fear and your hopelessness. And Jesus wants you to come as you are. And he said, drop all your conditions because I unconditionally love you. And when you come just as you are, he just says, I just don't want you to stay as you are. And that's part of new life, that when you place your trust and your hope in Jesus, that there is actually new life. In a moment, these people are going to come into the baptism. We have over 90 people at this campus that are going to be baptized. Some of you are going to be baptized, and you don't even know it yet, and you're fully clothed, and it's beautiful. Because God's going to do a work in your life, and tonight, you're just going to say, that's me. And you're going to come down, and you're going to go in the back room, and you're going to come, and you're going to be baptized. And at five of our campuses, we have over 115, 120 people that are going to be baptized, and one of them might be you. But what they are doing is they're going under, and they are saying that I'm no longer living for myself, that I'm dying to myself. And in my death to myself, I am coming up as a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old has passed away. See, it's nothing about the water. Jesus has already done something inside their heart. They're just expressing it and proclaiming it to you that now they have chosen to go to the other side and they say, I believe. And tonight that choice is for you. See, God took the crucifixion, and on the other side, he turned it into a celebration. And that celebration is for anyone who would believe. So today, here's what I'd ask of you as I close. Trust the evidence. Investigate it. Find out for you if it's real. Know you are unconditionally loved. And then thirdly, I'd ask you to consider dropping all your conditions and experience what's on the other side. This Easter 2023, you might just be filled with doubt. And you might be confused. And you might be alone. But Jesus says, hey, come with me to the other side. He says, with me, you have a clean slate. You can become a new creation. Scripture says, the old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things means you have a chance to become new. And it doesn't mean you're perfect. And it doesn't mean there won't be problems. But it does mean this: you have a Savior who unconditionally loves you and has not only given you a place in eternity, but he says, I've given you a life that you can have here that will be abundant if you place your hope and trust in me. Jesus said it this way: I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Tonight, here's what I believe. The day that changed the world is the same day that can change you. But that choice is yours. And as I close, I'm just going to pray and give you that opportunity. And when I'm done praying, you're going to see a little video of some people's lives that have been changed, and then we're going to baptize. And just like we did on the cardboard testimonies, we're going to celebrate, because here at this church, we celebrate new life in Christ. And tonight, if God changed you, or tonight, if you know that maybe he's changed you before, but you never proclaimed that publicly and you want to be baptized, you can just walk down during that first song. You can go out here to my right, to your right. Wait, this is my left. Yeah, your right and my left. And they would love to meet you. We've been preparing for you. But Jesus wants to change you. And I pray the resurrection becomes real. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you came and you died and you rose again so we could rise to new life today. And if tonight you've never made a decision to trust Jesus as your Savior, you've never crossed over to the other side, simply right now with me, if you would just simply say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I am choosing right now to believe. I believe. Just tell him right now, I believe. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. God, I am trusting you with all of my doubts, just like Thomas, with my fear, with my junk. I'm giving it to you. I believe. And Father, you simply ask us to come with a believing heart and that you aren't going to condemn, but you are going to restore. And we thank you for the journey that we get to be on with you. And tonight, I thank you for those who are making a choice to step over that line. I thank you for every single one that's going to be baptized, God, that made that decision and now is proclaiming it publicly. Thank you, Father, that you chose to come to earth, that you came from heaven to earth for us so that we might live again. So we celebrate, we give you thanks, and it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen.